You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast, and what a day of racing we've got coming your way. Fingers crossed all meetings get the go-ahead. Newcastle are inspecting at 8 a.m. ahead of action there. He's fighting fifth day at Newcastle, so very much fingers crossed that they are able to race. We've got racing at Newbury, of course, where the Ladbrokes Trophy is the feature on their card. Really good couple of days racing coming up at Fairy House as well. Plus we've got Lingfield, we've got action at Wolverhampton. It all starts at a very early start time. You can join John Gibby, Ross Briley and John O'Connell from 11:15 on Saturday morning on Racing Radio. Sam Norris here in the meantime, and joining me to take a look ahead to the two big races on Saturday and the look back at Friday's card at Newbury is Kate Tracy. How are you, Kate?
I'm really well, thank you. Yeah, enjoyed a cracking day, and hopefully we'll get Newcastle on tomorrow. It'll be a massive achievement by the ground staff at Newcastle if they manage to get the go ahead. So everything crossed for tonight, but even so, we're going to have a great day at Newbury regardless.
Yeah, indeed. It's a cracking day at Newbury, and as you say, massive fingers crossed for Newcastle getting the go-ahead. Not this is a bad thing, but I feel like I've spent a lot of time with you recently. I feel like this is like our third podcast in 2 weeks, and we're on the radio together the other night as well.
I know, it's worked out well. Yeah, yeah. Successful
it's
combination.
It's worked out well for me because I enjoy your company, but it must be a struggle for you having to sit and listen to me all the time.
We talk about Wolves
a
little bit, and about your manager's state and everything. So it's it's been very enjoyable. Thanks for putting up with me.
We discovered that you've got one Cornish word in your vocabulary the other night as well, didn't we?
Yeah, that's it. I know, my mother would be killing me right now. She's quite well spoken, but anything grass or assed or half, that was
half.
It was half. It
that was
yeah,
the big one,
half.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. I reveal my true identity.
Let's take a look back at some of the star performers then on Friday. It was a really good card at Newbury on Friday. We could kind of look back on almost every race on the card, but we'll stick to the graded action for the time being, starting with, of course, the Grade 2 Novices Chase on the card, which was always going to be a fascinating battle between Champ and Black Op. Champ eventually came out on top, winning as the 4-5 favourite. Saw off Black Op into second at 9-2. It didn't look that likely on a couple of occasions for Champ. He certainly did it the hard way.
Yeah, he really did do it the hard way. I wasn't convinced by his jumping either. I thought he jumped better last time out, actually. He was a bit ponderous, careful. To be fair now, jumping let down a fair few of these runners in this race. And then, obviously, we had the kind of bizarre finish as well, where Barry Geraghty said that the sun got in his eyes and blinded him in the running. And he almost went out for another circuit. He almost ended up jumping the water again.
Right.
And taking the normal chase course rather than cutting across for the finish. And I think Champ, I'm actually even more impressed by this win because of all of the small factors. And Champ, you know, the first circuit down the home straight, he almost got brought down by the loose Dashiell Drasher, who was running around loose and almost brought him down. And you could just see Champ's confidence almost from that just slightly went a little bit as he continued then to jump not convincingly down the back. So because of that, because he was then outpaced, obviously this was coming back and he needs a lot further and we'll get it in time if he does go down the RSA route, then he and he just kind of hit that that was just getting outpaced down the home straight and was still able to fend off a good field of runners showing really good grit and determination. And yeah, as I said, managing to avoid the elbow and seeing the head-on shots, he did remarkably to get himself back in and still win and not impede the other runners massively. So very impressive. Really pleased with Black Op in second. He's just come back to himself totally this season.
Big
last
time.
Season, yeah, it was a disaster last season.
Yeah.
Just complete line through it. Even in the yard, he looks such a better horse this season. He's just, his coat's better, his whole shape is better, and his jumping over fences has just completely switched. He's amazing. Now, Henrietta Knight's done a fantastic job with him, and he's just loved being in front, bowling along in a really nice rhythm. And I don't think he's lost much in defeat to Champ, who's obviously, this is Champ's end game. This is his sort of sphere. And I'm really just pleased with Black Op and a big run by the Alan King horse, who was an unlikely place horse before the off, really, in Dayran de Carjac as well, who ran a blinder and just wasn't able to see out the finish as well as the two in front of him. But a good race nonetheless, and I just hope that Dashiell Drasher's jumping will get back to normal, because he's got a massive engine, that horse, but he's got some step in him, as he showed at the first, and obviously that was his race over before it even started.
Yeah, indeed. How long have you been riding out at Tom George's, incidentally? I'm just wondering, is there a connection with you riding out there and Black Ops sudden resurgence?
Unfortunately, I was there last season. Okay. In his dismal year.
So you were at fault for it.
Yeah, basically. It was
you
all
can
me.
Take the credit.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, yes, completely. I've suddenly copped on, and Somerville boys.
So. Yes, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I'll take a lot of blame.
All right. Finally then, on Champ and Black Up, I suppose. Going forward, obviously, we received plenty of Cheltenham quotes. Champ's got a quote for all three of the novice chases. I mean, the article looks very unlikely. I don't see why they drop him down in trip. The JLT probably looks a bit less likely. Do you think RSA, that's the one that he's the shortest for?
Yes, I imagine so. I think the JLT is still just a little bit too short for him, yeah. So I think beforehand, even this race, all roads were leading to the RSA, and definitely, even on today's basis, how well, as I said, he just was outpaced on the running and then still just managed to outstay them. So the RSA just looks a very sensible move. So I definitely see all roads leading there. Don't think he's going to go to Kempton, is he? I'm pretty sure the talk was about going to Cheltenham for the Dipper, was it?
Yes, the Dipper, not the Ocean. Yeah,
so that just seems like a perfect pattern for him for the rest of the season. And yeah, I definitely is the right favourite now for the RSA, and I don't really see too much else, because I think he's only going to improve from this. His jumping wasn't great today, lots of things went wrong, and he still managed to grind out a win. So for me, go on to the Dipper and then win the RSA.
Yeah, 7-2 for the RSA for Champ. And Black Up, his long-term target?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know what they're going to what they're thinking with him. I don't imagine they'll probably want to face Champ again, thinking end game to RSA. So they probably could be quite tempted with the JLT, because obviously we've got Lorena probably going for the Arkle. We've got a few going for the Arkle. So I imagine that he might split the difference and go for the JLT instead. I mean, that's what I'd be thinking anyway. Whether Tom George will agree with me or not, I'm not entirely sure.
Does he often agree with you?
Never.
All right, okay, there you go. It's kind of historically the weaker of the three novice chases as well, isn't it, the JLT? Just because I think it splits the difference. You kind of get horses that are a bit too slow for 2 miles in there but don't quite stay the 3 mile trip. If you've got an out and out 2.5 miler, it's perfect for you, because you're taking on horses that just don't really fit in elsewhere, so they end up in this race.
That's exactly it. And last year, I mean, was probably one of the strongest JLTs with Defi de Soy and Lost in Translation.
Apart from that, as you say,
normally, I mean, that they were two perfect 2.5 mile horses though for that race. But apart from though from last year, as you say, normally it's just a middle ground kind of race really for these horses, and also ones that, like you say, maybe aren't going to be up to Champ standard come March, but also haven't got the legs of the 2 milers coming through. So I think that would be a nice place for Black Op to go. And he does, obviously, in the past, last year he didn't like Cheltenham, as it was well documented. And definitely offensive, obviously he was a different horse then, but previously, of course, he's done very well at Cheltenham, finishing second to Sam Crow. So the only horse that could give him any sort of a race that season, in his illustrious season as well. So I imagine that'll probably be the end game. But I wouldn't have said they would have thought too much into the future, and probably just wanted to see how he's going to do against top competition around Newbury today.
10-1 for Black Op for the JLT, if you want to get involved at this stage. And the other star name on the card at Newbury on Friday was, of course, Paisley Park, who ran in the long distance hurdle at 3 o'clock. Won that race, beating Thistlecrack by a length. The World's End was back in third. A win for Paisley Park obviously sent off odds on, extends his long winning sequence, the best staying hurdler around by some way. I guess not dissimilar to Champ's win, in that it wasn't visually spectacular, it didn't absolutely decimate the field, but did enough to come out on top and beat Thistlecrack, who I know is advancing in years now and has obviously been going over fences, but remains a very high class hurdler in this sphere as well, Thistlecrack. And it was job done for Paisley Park today.
Yeah, very much so. And he's a funny horse, because obviously he's got so much ability, but I still don't think we've seen him at his absolute best, because he does idle in front.
Yeah, he does.
And I loved the ride that Tom Skew gave Thistlecrack. I thought he was so clever in how he kept Thistlecrack away from Paisley Park in the finish, because we know that Paisley Park, basically as soon as he gets to the front, his ears start flicking. They start pricking up. He starts looking around at the grandstand. He is idle and he does DOS in front. And I just thought Tom Skew played a blinder by taking Thistlecrack as far away from Paisley Park as he could, so they didn't get to eyeball each other, because I think Paisley Park would have gone on again.
I think he always,
yeah, he would have gone on again. And Thistlecrack, I'm delighted to see him back to himself, because I was really doubtful of his fitness coming into this, because I hosted the Holden Gold Cup preview evening, and that was 3 weeks before the Holden Gold Cup, so not that long ago. And Joe Tizard was on the panel, and I asked Joe about his stable stars, and I said about Thistlecrack, and he said, well, actually, he's we haven't got him back in the yard yet. He's still at his pre-training yard.
Right, okay.
So he hadn't even got any sort of proper canter work into him then.
Right.
And that wasn't that long ago. And I was amazed. And they always say that, you know, he is a big horse, like sort of physically, and that he does take a little bit of extra work or a run to get the fitness into him. So for that reason, I thought it was on paper the right forecast to have Paisley Park to Thistlecrack. But knowing that, I was quite dubious over his chances. But he travelled there so powerfully, jumped really well. And I kind of just saw this as a prep run for him going on to the King George again, which obviously finished second into Clander's Oboe last year, really ran a blinder. So I just thought that this was kind of, he may come there and then blow up, but he ran an absolute blinder. And but yeah, as I say, Paisley Park, he's got so much in reserve. And I know that Paisley Park also, I mean, Ken Pitterson said from the track, he said he only looked 80% fit.
Right, okay.
You'd heard, yeah, and you'd heard little whispers from the yard saying that, yeah, he wasn't 100% tuned up for this, but he didn't need to be. He jumped well, did his usual idling, pulled out just enough. Also delighted with the World's End, of course, back in third. He was left on the front end, which was a bit of a concern, because I thought Beer Goggles was going to try and take him on, but lovely rhythm out in front, jumped really well. I know Connections would be really pleased with him, because obviously this race was a lot better caliber of horses that he was facing than his Weatherby win a few weeks ago. So really pleased with how he's run. And I say they, even though obviously he didn't win, I say they're probably happy that they stuck him to hurdles instead of going for Ladbrokes Trophy tomorrow.
13 to 8 for the Stayers Hurdle now for Paisley Park. On the face of it, looks short. And I know plenty of people, myself included, don't want to be rowing in on a 13 to 8 shot in November for a race in March. But what is going to beat him in the Stayers Hurdle?
That's the question. Exactly. If the cat fits, he's
probably the only one, isn't it? Because I think a lot of the Irish horses there, Benny De Dieu, I don't think this will be her race. Bacardi's, I think, will probably go over shorter. Penhill, obviously a former champion, and we never get to see too much of Penhill, really. He doesn't have that many races per year. He could be a fly in the ointment, but I mean, look, Lorena's not going to go for this race, neither is Champ. City Island, is he going chasing this year, City Island?
I think so. I think you're right. I'm not
Super Sunday, not really the force of old. You're struggling to find one to beat him, apart from maybe if the cap fits.
Yeah, that's it. And he's thrown his cap into, mind the pun. Oh, I didn't even mean that. Into
good,
the mix.
Because it was rubbish.
It was terrible, wasn't it? I don't want to claim that one. So he's in the mix now on that Ascot win the other day, where he showed a really good attitude. But kind of people didn't really think of him necessarily for this race, before that win the other day at Ascot, and now basically because we're trying to find anything that's going to take on Paisley Park for the Stayers Hurdle, hence why he is the price he is, because and hence why they've kept him with a very similar kind of approach to how he went into Cheltenham last year with Paisley Park, because there's not really anyone there to challenge him. I mean, Bacardi's, when they brought him back over hurdles there a few weeks ago, and he did impress and he won very well. So, and they did say afterwards that potentially this could be him. As you say, I wouldn't be surprised if they went over a little bit shorter again. But for me, he would be the only, well, obviously with the cat fits, but he'd be the only other one that I would be looking at, you know, from an anti-post perspective to be backing for this. Because like you say, the others, we don't know if they're going to go here. It could be, unless something comes out of the mix, it could be a pretty weak enough lineup really for the Stayers Hurdle with just Paisley Park and if the cat fits being the only two horses you could be confident about at this stage actually turning up in the race. And it just looks Paisley Park's to lose again, especially because he obviously retains so much ability of last year, and just the nature of how well he runs, he's just so well suited to this division and should really go on to dominate it again, I would have hoped.
You would think so, 13 to 8 for Paisley Park then, if that is a price for you available for the Stayers Hurdle, of course, in March. We'll turn our attention on now to Saturday's action. Fingers crossed we get the go-ahead at Newcastle. They are inspecting at 8 a.m. So if you listen to this podcast on Saturday and Newcastle have been abandoned, apologies, but we're going to talk about the Fighting Fifth anyway. Over 2 miles for this Grade 1. Bouvardet obviously looks for the three-peat in this race, trying to win it for a third year in succession. 4-11 favourite, 9-2 about Silver Streak. Lady Buttons is 10-1. Cornerstone Lad 16, 66-1 for Nelson River. Bouvardet, as I say, has won this race for the last couple of years. This year's renewal doesn't look any stronger, particularly than the two races that he's won previously. Tailed off a little bit toward the back end of last year, or looks as though he was going to anyway. He obviously fell in the champion hurdle, put things right at Punchestown. And, you know, this has been his prep for a few years now. And if they all run up to form, it's going to be Bouvardet winning it for a third time, isn't it?
Yeah, he should really win this, shouldn't he? Everything being well. And unless something drastically happens, then I don't see him losing this at all, even despite... I know it's a boring thing to say, obviously, with the prices, but... It is a pretty weak renewal of the Fighting Fifth and not the best turnout. You know, no offence to the other runners at all. And, you know, they're all very good horses in their own right, but obviously they're not up to Bouvardet's standard, definitely not of the last two renewals of this running anyway. And as I said, look, Bouvardet, he's not going to have improved from last year. You know, as I say, he's 8 years old now. Everything that he's done, he's either going to be the exact same in this or he's going to have slightly maybe diminished in his ability. However, I really like Nicky Henderson has come out and just said that he's never really been an inspiring workhorse at home. But he said Hannah, who rides him every day, says what cracking form he's in, and said he's actually starting to show a bit in his work now. So you can take a lot of positives out of that in itself. And he's the other thing Nicky Henderson said, basically the reason why he fell at Cheltenham is because his why he was so good in the 2 mile hurdle division was so much to do with his jumping, how quick and slick and clean he was. Yeah. Over it, and he gave nothing away. He didn't give an extra inch than he had to, and he always was just wrapping the top of surge, you know, like Isterbrack and yes. Archibald, after all the hardy uses, all the classy hurdlers always used to. They never gave any extra than they had to, and they literally picked their legs up over the hurdles, and that's what he has always done. But because of that style, if he gets it only marginally wrong, then he'll come down. And that's what he did in the champion hurdle last year. So, the 2 mile hurdle division this year, it is looking a bit windy at the minute. We don't quite know. The champion hurdle itself, sorry, just going a little bit off track, isn't looking that strong. So, again, this could be Bouvardet's season again to make light of that. And obviously, as it's shown in the Fighting Fifth there tomorrow, that it's not had the strongest turnout. As opposed to, you know, last year we had the Supreme winner, obviously, in Somerville Boy turning up. We had Sam Crow, obviously, before we found out that wasn't great.
Yeah.
Last season, and Bouvardet. And this year, you know, Silver Streak, the second favourite there, cracking horse. He's a lovely, lovely horse. Really, really likeable. Won so nicely at Kempton in a list of race back at the 20th of October. And I think he held Grand Sancy that day. Obviously, Grand Sancy fell at the last, but an itchy feet was back and forth. You know, he had the rest of the field completely beaten. He jumped really well. He's just such a likeable horse, but unfortunately, I just don't see him up to the standard of Bouvardet in this race. And also, my biggest concern with Silver Streak is going to be the ground. He likes good ground, you know, good to soft at worst. And obviously tomorrow, with the frost thawing out, provided we go ahead, they're cooling it heavy at the minute, so it's definitely not going to have any sort of a good in it, at least anyway. So that's going to pay to him. And Lady Buttons, again, she is a really likable mare who's in great form at the minute, but again, not quite the calibre of Bouvardet. So for me, it is his to lose, despite him obviously being a bit older, of 8 years old now. And I just think everything is in his favour.
Indeed. On to the big race today at Newbury, which is the Ladbrokes Trophy, or formerly the Hennessy. 3.25 miles, the trip, a big field to go out here, competitive look to it as well. OK Corral is 7-1 favourite. Cabaret Queen is 8-9-1. Mr. Malarkey, been money for that all week. On the blind side, 10-1. 11s for Darasha Counter. Elegant Escape is 12-1. West Approach 12-1. Dingo Dollar is 14-1. That's also been back during the week. It's 16-1 and bigger prices. The rest of them, obviously, a massive field to go. That competitive as it always is. Kate, what are your thoughts on this year's renewal?
Oh, it's so competitive! It's so competitive. As you say, like 7-1 the field. I mean, how often does that happen in a Ladbroke Trophy? So you see, you know, you don't even get that really in the Grand National nowadays, let alone this. So it is massive. OK Corral, obviously, at the head of the market, hasn't got the most experience over fences, but Nicky Henderson knows exactly how to win a race like this. You know, he's won it in the past. Bobsworth, Triolo, DLN, such like. And so an off of 1.51 seems a really nice mark, considering what he's done. Those two wins over fences at Plumpton and Warwick were nice starts. And then there was, you can completely draw a line through as pulling up in the National Hunt Challenge Cup at the Cheltenham Festival, because obviously that was the controversial race. So I don't really read too much into that form, despite a few of the horses who did finish coming out and running well again. So, yeah, you can see why he's at the top of the market. But because how open it is, I'm going to look away. I mean, Cabaret Queen there, the second favourite. I mean, she was really impressive in the Munster National last time out at Limerick, winning by 13 lengths. However, she has been put up £20 for that. And, you know, it was probably her jumping that won her that day. And apparently there was a bit of a pace bias, though. And basically, because she got an easy enough time of it on the front, nothing was coming from behind. So there are a few people saying that perhaps that the form or the winning distance has flattered her, because actually the pace bias did favour her being up at the front. But as I say, her jumping was impeccable and probably won her it that day. But the hike of £20 for that win is massive. But you can see what the Willie Mullins team are trying to do. Obviously, she's following the same plan that Total Recall followed when he won it, when he went on to win the Ladbrokes Trophy after winning the Munster National as well. So you can see it's all been laid out for her to go to the Ladbrokes Trophy on the back of this sort of campaign. Mr. Malarkey, you say the money horse has been coming for him. He was very good last season in his novice campaign with the win at Ascot in the Reynoldstown Novices Chase of Grade 2, with now McGinty and Yautari in behind in second and third. And he played a blinder that day because just sat off the pace. They finished quickly. The sectionals are showing how well they came out. They were, I believe it was like a dozen lengths ahead at the three out compared to the Denman Chase, obviously with like Gold Cup style horses. Yeah. So they ran a very quick race. And he was just held up, Robbie Power playing a blinder again, and then just does all of his best work at the finish of his races and managed to see out the race the best that day. So it was a really good winner that day. Then was a good fourth in the RSA, followed that up with a good second in the Grade 3 Betway Handicap Chase to Kildestar to Aintree. And, you know, he disappointed at Ascot on his seasonal reappearance when he finished 12th of 16th. But they have come out and said that basically he travelled really nicely throughout the race. He was an eye catcher, definitely, and they did say that he will shape a lot fitter for this. And of course, he's got the really talented Jonjo O'Neill on his back for this renewal. So he is a very interesting runner. On the blind side, he's next in the market. I know Nicky Henderson said that it's a bit of a concern that they said that he needs a bit of a sighter of his fences, which he's not going to get in this race.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
absolutely
a concern.
Not.
No. But to be honest with you, I'd be tempted to go with my opinion of the classy horse of the race. Showing my Cornish accent there, wasn't I?
Classy.
In Elegant Escape.
Okay.
Who I've finished
second. That's
how
his trainer would say it, to be fair.
Yeah,
that's absolutely how Colin Tizard
I'm
would
just
say
copying
it.
Colin Tizard's approach. Exactly. I'm trying to empathise with the trainer here. So, yeah, finished second in this last year. Two Sizing Tennessee probably wasn't the best renewal of this race, but went out and won the Welsh National after it, and has come out this season on his seasonal reappearance with a really good second in the Charlie Hall. So I just think in this race, how open it is, he is the class horse of the race, and I would be tempted to go with him at a bigger price because I know that he will jump well, touch wood. He will see out the stamina test, won't mind the ground, and I just think class will tell, because horses have proven in the past that in this race that you can overcome top weight to win this. So he would be the one for me.
And literally, as we're looking at the betting, there's money for him. He was 14 to 1 when we started talking about the race, and he's 10 to 1 now.
It's not so me. I'm not here backing him. It's not me.
Tapping away at her phone, shoveling it on. So Elegant Escape, 10 to 1 for the Ladbrokes Trophy, the feature race, of course, at Newbury on Saturday. Don't forget you can join us on Racing Radio from the early start time of 11:15. John Gibby is joined by Ross Briley and John O'Connell for all of the action. Kate, thank you very much. A pleasure as always. And enjoy the weekend's racing.
Thank you so much. I will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.